So we know there is a lot going on right now. The election was this week, and we didn't know if it was going to ever end or not. But we have finally gotten to the end. And I know there may be a lot of emotions going on, a lot of feelings. Some of those may be great. Some of those may not be so great. I can be honest with y'all. It's been a roller coaster ride for me personally. Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, I was all over the place. And I had to wake up and get my time with God. I had to remember that I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so as we look and see what has happened, I would be remiss to not to comment on the amazing history that has been created. Just to think that an older white gentleman asked a powerful black woman to join in with him to heal this country, to unify this country. My wife sent me something that's been on social media, and I know the sisters would like this. It says, "Make sure that you have shoes on, ladies. There's a lot of glass that's on the floor." That represents that glass ceiling that has been broken. To have an African-American woman in the White House. Personally, for me, I think about my own daughter, Kennedy. I think about the other young women in this church. That they now can see what it looks like to achieve the unthinkable. Quite honestly, I thought that I would never see that in my lifetime, and I'm only 42. But it goes to show that as that glass ceiling is broken, that obstacle is removed, that we can do much more than what we think we can do. And that even comes to our relationship with God and what we want to try to accomplish with God. And that's what God put on my heart. He said, "Ed, you're getting all wrapped up in it. Let me give you something to focus in on." And I thought about the men that I'm helping. And I thought about the men that I am trying to train to help other people. You know, Path Church, we have to stay focused on making disciples that make disciples. There are a lot of different obstacles that can get in our way, but if we look at what the Vice President of the United States, glass ceilings can be broken and we can move forward. Amen. When you look at the fuel for making disciples that make disciples is what Angel talked about last week. It's about understanding prayer. It's about understanding praise and the prominence of God in our lives. He talked about we have to study, we have to meditate, we have to obey God's word. And one of the critical things that we have to obey is the mission of Jesus Christ. We all know the scripture. For those that don't, it's Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 8 through 20. And it says that we are charged to go and make disciples of all the nations. And that is for everyone. That's not for the pastor. That's not for the preacher. That's not for Mike or Angel or Jazz or Chris or myself. That's for every last one of us that have said, "I'm going to follow Jesus." When you think about the excitement that we feel right now, I know our people. Our people are excited. It's okay to embrace that excitement. Georgia flipped. Georgia flipped. The only thing we have to remember is we want to win graciously. We don't want to burn bridges. We want to build bridges via relationship because we don't know who needs Jesus out there. So we have to keep our victory with the mindset of the mission of Jesus Christ. And this church has been doing an amazing job of that. We, the church, have been on the mission during the pandemic. Amen? There's so many people that have been becoming Christians. I have lost count. I know Angel knows, Christina knows, because they keep the data. But it's probably one person every week on average. So we have been the church on the mission. The heart of being on the mission, though, starts with submission. And that's reflected in our relationship with God. And that's the title of my message today, Submission for the Mission. You know, that's the old dirty S word that we don't like to talk about. Boy, we don't like to submit. But when you look at this concept of submission, what I'm talking about is we have to take the things that kind of preoccupy us, those glass ceilings that we create for ourselves sometimes, and we have to submit them, put them under the mission. That way, we can be open to what God wants to do in our hearts. So let's unpack this. Let's look at this. Let's look at submission to Jesus' method of disciple making. Turn over in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. So what Timothy and Paul, amazing relationship. We've all kind of studied this relationship out at some point in our walk with God. But Paul is making an appeal for loyalty. In chapter 1, he's encouraging Timothy to stay strong. He's encouraging him to continue in the way of his relationship with God. Because there are some ruckus that's going on in the church in Ephesus. It's the classic battle that Paul has had to fight throughout his journey with God, which is people leaving the gospel message. There were people that were deserting what Paul had taught them. Straight leaving them high and dry. And Paul calls it out straight up in verse 15 of chapter 1. And so, you know, Timothy, we're going to talk about a little bit of his character, but Timothy started to feel a certain type of way. Here he is leading the church in Ephesus and people are leaving. So we'll start in verse 1. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. So when he talks about strong in the grace, Paul is making it very simple. Make it spiritual, Timothy. Make it about your deep, intimate, personal relationship with God. Don't try to fight it on your own. Don't try to grit your teeth and try to put all your effort into what is going on. Understand the grace that Christ has given you. And you can only understand that if you are deep in your relationship with God. What Angel talked about, praise and prayer and prominence of God in our life. The first thing that I want y'all to take home is the most important part of making disciples is your relationship with God. Amen. That's where it starts. That's where it ends. So as Paul is encouraging Timothy, hey, man, don't give up. Stay in there in your relationship with God. He then moves on to the practical piece. Now, the cultural background we have to understand is these are two Jewish men that are walking together. So culturally, when you walked with your teacher, the expectation was that you would be trained, you would learn from them, and then you would then teach others. You would then pass it on to the people that God put in your life to train. Now, Timothy is like, I don't know about all that. You know, they talk about Timothy is timid. He's afraid. And what happens is sometimes Satan can get into our head, like Satan got into Timothy's head. He's probably sitting there thinking that, man, he's second guessing my powers, my strength. I don't have the ability to do it. I don't know enough. What happens if they don't listen to me? What happens if they imprison me? Or even worse, what happens if they kill me? So Timothy had to submit. He had to submit to what God was putting on his heart. The time that he was spending with God, he had to follow through. So brothers and sisters, I encourage us, if we're going to spend time with God, it doesn't make sense if we don't follow through what he puts on our heart. Mike Patterson told me that's what success is. We try to put all these different parameters of success. Success is just doing what God has put on your heart. You know, when you look at the fear of man, that's when doubt starts. But strength starts with submission to God. Paul had to submit to training Timothy. Timothy had to submit to being trained by Paul. Both of them had to submit to being intentional and investing in other people. And I know you might like, Jackson, listen, man, I ain't got no time for all that training, bro. We in a pandemic, man. I'm trying, you know, I got work. I got this. I'm trying to, you know, I get it. I understand. I was and can be preoccupied with many things myself. You can be preoccupied with my career. I can be preoccupied with relationships. You can be preoccupied with the political results. You can be preoccupied with trying to attain prestige in your life. But one thing is for sure, is the gospel of Jesus Christ frees us from being preoccupied with ourselves. And that's the power of Jesus. And that's what God saw in a brother that I spent a lot of time with recently, my brother Jonathan. Jonathan became a Christian about almost 3 or 4 years ago, and Jonathan had his stuff to work through, like all young disciples got to work through. But Jonathan has now said, you know what, Ed, I'm not going to be preoccupied with all my stuff anymore. Jonathan decided to say, hey, I want to help other people. I want to become a disciple maker. Now, Jonathan wasn't so much into being trained. We had to kind of pull him by the bullhorns to get him there, but he got there. And what's awesome is we see Jonathan then get his conviction to go on and help other people. The message just didn't stop with him. You see, back in the day of the first century, you had to pass the message on because your teacher might get killed. They were worried about life and death back then. So if you didn't pass it on, it may stop because of death. So Jonathan said, I want to pass it on. So he submitted. He got trained and he helped his friend Daniel. Him and some other brothers, Jamel, Julius, they got with Daniel and they studied the scriptures out with Daniel. And they wrestled with Daniel. Daniel wrestled with God. And Daniel called us the other week. And we were like, oh man, what is this about? Daniel's been wrestling with his own issues of what is he going to do for God? And when he got with us, he said, you know what, guys? I want to be trained to be a disciple maker. Can somebody train me to do what y'all did for me? Let me ask you, have we made that call and asked to be trained? Some of us have not been around for very long. Some of us have been around for a minute. Have you made the call yet to ask to be trained? I know Tasha and I, we had to make our call when we first became disciples. The couple that worked with us, they had to intentionally sit us down and walk with us and teach us how to make disciples. Man, I ate it all up. I love training. I've been training for all my life as a doctor. So it's nothing for me to be trained. And so I was in it, man. I love making disciples. I love baptizing. And Tasha and I, man, we were just going. We were just going for it. And then we looked around and it was like, man, we had like 10 couples. We're like, who gonna get with all these people? I can't get with all these people. And so what we did is what I call drop the baby on the doorstep of the fire station. Come on, just join that small group. You'll be okay. Just hop in there. Show up. That's all I need you to do right now. And then through my time with God and through God's word and then being trained by Angel and Mike, I realized, and it's so funny, the people that trained Tasha and I, they told us, you got to slow down and intentionally work with the people that you help become disciples. I forgot that. I did it my own way. And that wasn't the Jesus method of disciple making. So now, before I used to get excited to just sit across from the table and study the Bible with somebody else, me and my wife or me and the guys, and see that person transform. And that's still amazing. Don't get me wrong. But now I get juiced up. Now I get overjoyed when I can sit across from the table of a Jonathan and then see him work with somebody and help them become a disciple of Jesus Christ. I was just talking to Chris today. That's what Chris is doing. Chris is in there with the guy helping him become a disciple. He's got his guys in there. He's training them how to share their faith, how to share their life, how to follow up with the guy, to love on the guy. That's how it gets passed on. So I have some steps for us for submission for the mission. Step number one. You got to submit to become a disciple. Some of us are still struggling and wrestling with God and trying to figure out, well, what is it going to be for me? What does it look like to be a disciple? You got to submit. The time is now. Tomorrow is not promised. Step number two, you got to submit to be trained to be a disciple maker. Just like what Timothy did with Paul, he submitted to the method of Jesus disciple making. Step number three, you got to go out and make disciples. That's biblical. That's Matthew 28. There's no getting around it. That's for everybody. And step number four, which is the major point this afternoon, we have to submit to train disciples to become disciple makers. And that's the new finish line. You know, I recently was on a half marathon journey. Oh boy, here it comes. And so in that journey, I had to figure out, how am I going to finish this race? And quite honestly, I didn't know how I was going to do it. I hurt my ankle. Things didn't go too well. I thought I was going to be able to finish in September. But I wasn't. And I could not finish my race until last week. And so when that line moved on me, I got very frustrated. I didn't like it. But I had to submit that the line had been pushed forward. And you know, God can move the finish line on us. And sometimes we can't necessarily make that decision. We're not in control of that. So sometimes in life, things are going to happen. And even when we're trying to do great things for God, the finish line can be moved forward. Kamala Harris, she moved that finish line forward. That's without a doubt. And so for church, I think for us, we love to baptize. We got one today. Praise God. And sometimes I think that the baptism can sometimes be our finish line. In actuality, it's not the finish line, it's the starting line. It's when the journey with Jesus begins. Same thing with in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul and Timothy had to submit to the finish line that God set up for them, which is to teach other people. So my brothers and sisters who are disciple makers, are you training someone right now in our fellowship to become a disciple maker? Because we have to submit. I had to submit to that. Because we got to think about replicating ourselves. The more disciple makers we have, the more we replicate the first century church. The more we replicate their disciple making movement that went from 120 to 3,000. That's the heart of Jesus' method of disciple making. And I know it can be quicker to get things done. But quite honestly, sometimes we got to slow down and take a step back. So what does this look like? It involves us just being intentional. Intentionality is the key. Sometimes we think disciple making should be organic and should not be intentional. That's not Jesus. Jesus had a plan. He executed it to the T. This book that I'm reading is called Rediscover Discipleship. And it says, the life you have always wanted may be in the mission you have always dreaded. So everyone needs intentional training. Who's training you to become a disciple? Who's training you to become a disciple maker? Who's training you to train other disciples to become disciple makers? Brothers and sisters of the path, we are the church that's on the mission, without a doubt. And I think as we embrace Jesus' methods of disciple making and intently train disciples to become disciple makers, we will see an explosion in this neighborhood and in this community. And the ultimate mission is the reason why we do it. The ultimate mission was Jesus going to that cross, dying for our sins, having his blood spilt so that we can have an intimate, deep, personal relationship with God. There's no other reason why. To love other people. And loving other people intently is doing what's spiritually best for them, regardless of the consequences of the relationship. This was the expectation that Jesus had for his disciples. It's the expectation he had for Paul. It's the expectation that Paul had for Timothy. So as we think about the blood of Jesus, let us submit ourselves to the mission of Jesus Christ to make disciples who make disciples. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for just your power. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you for the opportunity to have reconciliation with you. God, as we continue to be on the mission for you, God, that we may grow your kingdom, Father, that you get all the glory. Let us pass it on to others. Let us pass it on to the people that you have brought into our life intentionally, God, just to love other people. God, as we move forward in this election political season, let us remember our why, just to love other people and share the gospel. It is an exciting time, and we are thankful, God, that you have spoken. You are in control of it all, God. As we think about your body that was broken, as we think about your blood that was spilt, let that be the key to our motivation, just to love. In your holy son's name I pray, amen.